child who's afraid of the dark. But when I call on Jesus, all things are possible. I can mount on wings like eagles and soar. When I call on Jesus, mountains are gonna fall, 'cause he'll move heaven and earth to come rescue me when I call.
If I had seen the sunset on the day that Jesus died, and felt the glow of the sunrise when the tomb was opened wide, would I have known you? I have seen that you were more than just a man. You were Lord and King. But now I know you, and I can see that you Jesus, Lord, to me. If I had seen the manger where the tiny baby lay and felt the glow of the moment when all heaven sang your praise, would I have knelt to worship or just passed along the way? Would I have loved you the way I do today? But now you are my Savior. Now you are my King. And I will bow to worship you. And I will sing, Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord to me, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Lord to me.
Thank you, Marie. What a beautiful song. I love, love, love that song. Very special this morning, getting to have a lot of our friends and family with us. Got a whole section of family folks there, so great to have them. I was thinking about this. I think I have someone from every church I've pastored here today. Yesterday I had someone from the church at Gould, but I'll count my family. They were there with me, so today. He had to go home this morning, so. But that's kind of special, right? It's like your past comes back to haunt you, right? Or bless you. Thank you, Joy. Our sweet Joy over there. Give it a positive spin. And Sarah, thank you for your song. Sarah lived with our family for about 4 years, we think. 3 or 4 years while she was in nursing school. And we called her our nanny. She pretty much helped us raise Sarah and Bethany and Trey. So anyway, she's special to us. So very special having these folks with us here this morning. Okay, if you've got your Bible with you this morning, if you would, be finding the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We're going to be in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. So be looking for that with me, if you would. We actually finished up our series that we've been in last week called Great Prayers of the Bible, and we kind of finished it up by looking at the model prayer and that hotline to God that we have. But I didn't want to leave it without kind of giving kind of a sequel, an epilogue. I'm calling this an epilogue to that series this morning, just kind of a final word on this. I want to talk this morning about a side of prayer that doesn't get a lot of focus often. We talk about the mechanics of prayer. We talk about the posture of prayer. We talk about the power of prayer. And a lot of times when we think prayer, we think, I'm going to do all the talking to God. And very little do we ever think about all the listening to God that we ought to be doing. And If you think about this, prayer is a two-way conversation, right? And we put a lot of emphasis on the first end of that and not much emphasis on the last end of that. And some of that may be that I don't really know how to listen to God. Can I really hear his voice? Does he speak today? And so some of those things kind of swirl around that. So I want to finish up really with this kind of sequel to that about 4 or 5 week series of messages with what we're going to look at this morning. And again, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and just kind of have titled this message, Learning to Listen to God. If we were just to kind of poll us this morning and we were to say, do you really feel like when you pray that you can hear God speaking to you? Do you really feel like when you're spending time with him, however that is, maybe you're praying at church, maybe you're praying at home in your prayer closet like we talked about, maybe you're having your quiet time. I know that many of us feel like, yeah, you know, God spoke to me this morning, but do you really feel like you're listening for his voice and really hearing him speak? Because I think that's a key in this whole discussion of prayer. So it's a good place for us to end this morning. I was kind of putting my head around it this week, and you know, I think there's about 5 good reasons that I could kind of come up with for why listening for God in prayer is often overlooked or neglected. Just some reasons to think about this morning, about why often this side of listening to God is the side of prayer that we don't give a lot of attention to, or we don't know what to do with it, or we kind of get clouded with that. And let me just give these to you and you think about this. I think one of them is that often we don't really believe that God speaks today like that. Like what am I listening for? Am I supposed to be hearing him in an audible voice, or how does that work? And you and I, most of us in this room, know God speaks in lots of ways, right? Often, in my life, I'm sure in yours too, you found this, he speaks directly from his word, right? I mean, you'll be reading a passage or maybe hearing a message or studying, and all of a sudden you will feel God speaking to you through something that's said. Maybe it hits you like something you've never heard before. Or maybe it's through the words of another believer in your life who says something, and it's like it just resonates, like God just kind of pings you with it, right? And you feel like he's speaking to you. So we know God speaks in lots of ways, but what about in your prayer life? So I think a lot of times we don't really believe that God speaks today. That's the general consensus, right? A little bit of a ways back, I don't know if you kind of remember this happening or kind of remember this, but there's a little talk show that's on in the morning called The View. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The View. And I saw a thumbs down over there. Boo View, right? I don't know. Can I say that? The live stream. Okay. Where did that come from? Okay, keep going. Hold your comments, okay? So I'm just kind of sharing with you kind of the general consensus about why we don't really believe God speaks and how that's kind of a general thought out there. On The View, one of the ladies that's a spokesperson, one of the commentators on there is Joy Behar. And she said this about prayer, kind of interesting. She said, talking to Jesus is one thing, but hearing Jesus talk to you could be described as mental illness. She later apologized for that, by the way. So before you come down too hard, you don't want to just say, you know. She later apologized for that statement. But if you think about it, when I kind of read that statement again this week, I was reminded of it. The truth is, that's how most of the world thinks, right? Like, it's one thing to talk to God to pray, and I've shared during the series statistics with you of how many even atheists and agnostics say that they pray once a week or daily. Remember that statistic? So it's one thing to say, I pray. I don't really always know what that means. But to the world, if you're hearing Jesus, well, you better get checked out, right? And so that may have an effect on us sometimes. We may think, does God really speak today? Well, let me just tell you 100% I believe that God speaks today. He speaks. And you can hear him. That's what this message is going to be about this morning. Another reason I think a lot of times that listening for God in prayer is overlooked and neglected is that we're too rushed in prayer to wait to hear what he says. I'm going to share some about that today, but often if you think about it, what are our prayer lives really like, right? It's like that last thing we do in the morning before we rush out the door, right? And we don't really take the time to sit before God and wait to hear what he says in response to prayer. If we did, That might be kind of scary sometimes for us, right? As a matter of fact, it's kind of like, God bless me today. Then we rush off to do it our own way, leaving him out of it, right? So think about that. A lot of times we're too rushed in prayer to wait for him to speak. Then third, I think sometimes we misunderstand that whole concept of prayer as a two-way conversation, right? I mean, most of us, if we're honest, really do in the back of our mind think, well, prayer is me talking to God. And we don't see it as that two-way conversation. Prayer is you communicating with God, with you learning how to be in dialogue with him, how to speak with him. So that's another reason. Then number four there, we are not sure we really want to hear what God has to say, right? I mean, like sometimes it's like, God, I don't want to hear this, right? So sometimes when God speaks, it makes us uncomfortable. It calls us out of our comfort zone. It steps on our toes. It moves us in a certain direction. So sometimes it's that we're not listening to him and we overlook this aspect because I'm not really sure I want to go to the dark recesses of Africa, right? Isn't that how we think? Often like, God, I don't know if I want to hear you. And then the fifth one here is this. Sometimes we just feel unworthy. Like, God, who am I that you would speak to me? God, why would you spend time with me, a dirty, rotten sinner, right? Why would you do that? So we don't listen. So just think about that. There's lots of things that can come in play here when we talk about listening to God. So we pray, we do all the talking, we do all the asking, we do all the pleading, and rarely, if ever, do we take the time to really listen for God's voice. Do we really take the time to hear him? Now, here's something I want you to get down. I put this up on the screen because I want you to think about this. If you really want to learn the power of prayer, you need to learn to listen to the one who makes prayer powerful, right? If you really want to learn the power of prayer, well, you need to learn to hear the one who is the power behind prayer. Remember, our prayers are about him, not about what we're saying, right? So I think that's really powerful. I love Frank Laubach. I don't know how many of you are familiar with him. Frank Laubach, so powerful. He wrote a great little book, actually, on prayer. And I love this little book. He wrote it with Brother Lawrence. It's called Practicing the Presence. Great little book, if you ever want to pick that up. It's a classic. He wrote another one called The Game of Minutes. And The Game of Minutes is about spending minute after minute after minute in God's presence, listening for his voice. Very, very powerful. Frank Laubach said this. He said, prayer at its highest is a two-way conversation. And for me, the most important part is listening to God's replies. We get that just the opposite, don't we? I mean, for most of us in our prayer life, the most important part is what? Me telling God what I want, what I need. Me asking God to comfort me, to help me, to, you know, to most of us, if we're to be honest, it's kind of the other way. But for him, he said the most important part is listening to God's replies. Here's another statement from Frank Laubach. He says this, and this is a powerful quote. This one stung me. He said this. He said, the trouble with nearly everybody who prays is that he says amen and runs away before God has a chance to reply. Listening to God is far more important than giving God our ideas. Doesn't that kind of turn our ideas about prayer on its head a little bit? Like often we don't think of prayer that way. So as I was even working on this message, I kept thinking, you know, this kind of revolutionizes our whole concept of prayer, doesn't it? When we start to see prayer really ought to begin with us hearing him, listening to him, not him hearing us. Now, I hope in this series of messages you've got the idea, right, that God always listens, he always hears. He always answers. Sometimes we don't like the answer, but he always answers. That God's always going to be there, right? You've gotten that idea, but do we really listen for him? Oh, how the desire of our heart ought to be to hear him. He desires to speak to us, but are we listening? There's another one that I love to read, and you guys, this is a name you'll be familiar with. Most of us love Dr. Charles Stanley, right? I mean, that guy's still going strong. Preaches, you know, just so powerful. Probably my favorite book of his, and I've got tons of his books in my library, is a little book that he wrote called How to Listen to God. I love that book. So, as a matter of fact, I have a signed copy of that book. very special to me in there. How to listen to God. That whole book is just about how to hear Him, how to listen to Him. And in that book, He makes some pretty powerful statements that I think we kind of need to hear. We're just kind of setting the groundwork for this whole thing of learning to listen. Dr. Stanley, in that book, How to Listen to God, says this: when God speaks, and He does, everyone should listen. And if God's voice seems indistinct, it may be that something in your life hinders a clear hearing. That's pretty important, isn't it? Maybe some things in my own life are really keeping me from hearing Him. And then he says this: could it be that we come to God with certain mindsets that determine our responses? Could it be that we are often mentally, spiritually predetermined to select what we want to listen to and to ignore at our own peril what we need to hear? So just kind of throwing some stuff out there for you to think about. If you just think about this whole concept of listening to God, there's a lot of reasons sometimes that we don't, that we overlook this. And there's things going on in our lives sometimes that keep us from hearing Him. In that book, Dr. Charles Stanley kind of gives this little hearing test. And I want you to take this morning. You guys think about this with me. He gives a hearing test. And he asks this question: when I listen to God, my mind is, don't say it out loud, okay? This is just between you and Him. But here's the four choices that he gives. My mind is closed, cluttered, cloudy, or committed. He says it's a good gauge at whether or not you're going to be able to hear Him when He speaks. When I listen to God, is my mind closed? Like, God, I don't want to hear what You have to say. Is it cluttered? And I just have to tell you that my mind's cluttered these days, right? I mean, it's cluttered with wedding. It's cluttered with COVID. Yeah, it's cluttered with politics, right? It's just cluttered these days, right? So sometimes we can't hear God because of all the noise, right? So is it cloudy? I feel kind of cloudy sometimes too, right? Or is it committed? Well, I want to talk about that this morning. I want us to lean into this. I want us to think about, what does God's Word tell us? What does it teach us about this side of prayer that's often overlooked? This kind of epilogue to these great prayers. What does it teach us about learning to listen to Him? We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you've got your Bible there, I want you to look at a story that may be familiar to you in verses 1 through 10. And I love this story. If you're a young one here in this room today, if you're a child or a young person, I want you to know it doesn't matter how old you are, God can speak to your heart, right? If you'll listen, He'll speak. And I love this story because this is a young boy that God speaks to. He learns how to listen to God. So look at the story with me, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in the first verse. I'm going to be reading from the NIV this morning. I know that's a little bit different, but doesn't read much different than the King James or the New King James, but I like how it says a couple of things a particular way. So follow along with me if you have your copy of the scriptures I read there. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in the first verse. Here we go. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And this is a significant statement. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. You know what that just told us, right? People weren't listening to God, right? They weren't hearing Him, okay? Verse 2, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back, lie down." So he went, and he lay down. And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told him, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. And I kind of circled that in my Bible. Your servant is listening. I think probably there's a lot of different directions that you could preach this passage of Scripture. But I think one of the clear things that you see here is Samuel learning how to listen to God. Learning that side of prayer that sometimes gets overlooked by us, that we miss out on. How do you really do that? And I think we get to see it in this passage. That's a great story, by the way, isn't it? Maybe one that you're familiar with. Let me see if I can kind of set the scene here for you, if you would. Again, as chapter 3 kind of opens, it begins with that statement, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. That statement's kind of the backdrop for the story, but also for what's happening among God's people in that time. That they were kind of going through a time of a low religious ebb, okay? So it was kind of a low point for them. The Bible does not say here that there were no religious activities. It doesn't say there weren't churchy things going on, right? It doesn't say that. It says that during that time, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. I would suspect that maybe they were going on with business as usual, but you know what happens, right? Sometimes when we're going on with business as usual, doing what we always do, what happens? We become numb to God's voice, and we're just kind of going through the motions, right? And I have a feeling that's probably what was happening during this time. And if you think about it in our own lives, that can be real for us too. As 1 Samuel begins, Israel again is at this low point, spiritually speaking. The priesthood was corrupt under Eli. His two sons were corrupt. Idolatry was being practiced. The judges were dishonest. And as chapter 2 of 1 Samuel comes to a close, God's judgment on the house of Eli was being pronounced, and now as chapter 3 opens, it looks like it's coming to bear. And it's because Eli had stopped listening to God, and God was looking for one who would listen to him. And so the lessons in here are just kind of replete, if you think about it. And what I want to do in just the little bit of time that we have together this morning in this place, I just want to show you a couple of truths that I think come out of this passage of Scripture about you and I learning how in prayer we can listen to Him, how we can hear His voice. I'm just going to share a couple of points that I think kind of come across in this passage of Scripture that God's kind of laid on my heart. So jot these things down. I know, sir, I'm kind of jumping forward a little bit, so stay with me. But I want you to kind of get some of this stuff and kind of think about this. So jot these things down. This is how you and I, in this kind of thing called prayer, may really learn to begin to listen to Him. And I'm going to ask these in some questions. So here it is. Here's the first one. You need to ask yourself this. If you want to learn to listen to God, think about this. Am I positioned to hear His voice? Am I positioned to hear His voice? Am I in the place where I need to be, spiritually speaking, to hear Him? Am I there? Am I positioned to hear Him? You get that, right? And so think about that with me. Let me say it just a little bit different way. I think proximity to God matters when you're trying to hear Him. I just believe that. I think relationally, right, your position with Him relationally, it matters. Proximity to God matters. Am I close to Him? Am I near Him? And let me kind of show you what I mean by this. Let's dig into the Scripture a little bit and kind of look at this. Notice verses 3 and 4 again of our passage. It says this, and I'm going to just kind of lean into this. I don't want you to think I'm over-spiritualizing this, so stay with me on it. But here's what it says, verses 3 and 4. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." Now let me ask you, look at your Bible there. Just look at it for a second. Just look at it. Where was Samuel when God first began to speak and call his name? Where was he? Yeah. He was in the house of the Lord. Did you see that? And look where it says he was lying near the ark of God. He was in the house of the Lord. Now, I don't want to over-spiritualize that, but I want you to think about it. I think that's significant. He was lying in the tabernacle, okay? The house of the Lord where the ark was. Now, just kind of stay with me on this for a second. He understood this, that he had been given, remember we talked about the prayer of Hannah several weeks back, a Okay, his mother had committed him, right, to be used of the Lord. And so she had committed him to the Lord and placed him positionally in the Lord's ministry, in the Lord's service. And he was living there with Eli, sleeping near the house of God, sleeping in the tabernacle. One of the most important places of worship for the people of God in that day was the tabernacle or the temple. Now just think about it. For what did it represent to God's people? That place represented the very presence of God. Okay? Now, we don't do it this way. Today we believe right in the priesthood of the believer, but in Old Testament times, in Israel's history, if they wanted to meet with God, where did they go? To the tabernacle. To the priest, right? And that's how they met with God. That represented God's presence to them. And if you really wanted to get close to God, you went behind the inner veil, and there was something called the ark, and that ark contained the presence of God. Now, where was Samuel sleeping? There. Positionally, he was there. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that you have to be in church to hear God. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't have to, but you do need to be close to him if you want to be here, if you want to hear him. You need to be in his presence, right? What did I tell you was the name of that book Frank Laubach and Brother Lawrence wrote? Practicing the Presence. It's all about prayer. Practicing the Presence. You need to be near his presence if you want to hear him. That's the point. Proximity matters. It matters if you're close to him. And if you kind of dig into that, you understand it. You go, well, that's Old Testament. Does that really apply to me? That's how God treated Israel. Is that how God treats me? Well, I'm glad you asked, right? Because you come to the New Testament, and the James, the half-brother of Jesus, would say this in James 4:8. He would say, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You get it? So where am I most likely to hear him? When I'm near him. Hey, that rhymed, right? Sounded like Dr. Seuss up here, right? If you want to hear him, you got to be near him. But we just say it that way. Instead of me getting all churchy and saying, you know, you got to be positionally, you got to be in the right place and all that kind of stuff. What does that really mean? What does that really look like? It doesn't mean you have to be in the tabernacle or next to the Ark of the Covenant, but it does mean that you need to be in relationship with him in his presence. You need to be near him to hear him. That's important. Nancy and I have such an amazing relationship. We celebrated our anniversary this year on the 13th of August. I mean, just a couple of days ago of August, 37 years we've been married. We know each other pretty well, right? And we've kind of grown up together. I remember the day, Nancy's parents are here. I remember the day Nancy said to me, you know, I've lived with you longer than I lived with my parents. It's like a stunning moment, you know. And some people will ask me sometimes, they'll say, well, you and Nancy seem to have such an amazing kind of symbiotic kind of relationship where you just kind of, you know, do y'all ever fight? And I'm like, well, sort of, right, Nancy? Yeah, I mean, we do. We're any normal married couple. But here's the truth about our fights. I fight, she doesn't. Is that annoying, right? I mean, she just doesn't get mad ever. I get mad, she doesn't get mad. I fight, she doesn't fight. She probably fought with her mama some, but she didn't fight with me, or maybe her brother. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just kind of how Nancy is. Yes, we kind of get in these kind of disagreements sometimes, and I get mad. Nancy doesn't get mad. It's very frustrating sometimes. So we decided a long time ago, after we got married, that we were going to try to kind of do it. We weren't going to let the sun go down without us working stuff out. Well, what that looks like in the Johnson house is that sometimes she has to follow me from room to room to room to room, whatever, because she's not going to leave me alone until this is fixed, right? You got that? She's a fixer, and that's how she's going to do it. And I've grown to appreciate that, because here's what Nancy knows. If this is going to be worked out, she's got to be near me to work it out. Nearness matters. She can't just let me go off and stew and be mad forever, right? So what does she do? She's not going to get mad. She's going to work this thing out. So she's just going to tell me everywhere I need to go until we talk it out and it gets worked out, because nearness matters. Okay, let's translate that in our life, spiritually speaking. If you want to hear God, you need to be in the same room with Him. You need to be near Him. You need to walk closely with Him. I mean, think about all the things we just said about how God speaks. How does He speak? Well, He speaks through His Word. So if you want to hear His Word, where do you have to be? In His Word, right? Sometimes He speaks at church through preachers and teachers. So where do you need to be? In His presence, at church, hearing His Word. And prayer, what is prayer but a conversation with God? And if you want to hear Him in prayer, where do you need to be? With Him in prayer. You need to pray. You need to be positionally there. Now, just think about this. If you want to jot these things down, jot this down. Number one, you need a relationship with God to hear God. Something. You need to be positionally in relationship. But not only that, you need to be in a cultivating close relationship with Him. You need to be cultivating that relationship, growing that relationship, building that relationship so that you can hear. And then third, you need to want to hear Him. You need to be committed to hearing Him in that if you really want to hear Him. I think that's so important. You and I need to drink, sleep, live near where God is. That's what Samuel was doing when he heard Him. So ask yourself that question. Am I positioned to hear Him in my life right now? Maybe I'm not hearing Him because I'm not where I need to be in relationship to Him. Or some things need to happen in my life so that I can be in that place where He can hear me. I love A.W. Tozer. And A.W. Tozer said this. He said, why do some persons find God in a way that others do not? Why does God manifest His presence to some and let multitudes of others struggle along in the half-light of imperfect Christian experience? Of course the will of God is the same for all. He has no favorites within His household. All He has ever done for any of His children, He will do for all of His children. I love that, don't you? The difference lies not with God, but with us. Where are we positionally with Him? That's what matters. So that's the first one, right? Where was Samuel? He was positionally close to the heart of God. So he heard God. Here's the second one. You ready? Questions we're asking ourselves. Am I positioned to hear Him? Second is this. Am I primed to hear Him? Am I ready to hear Him? Am I willing to hear Him? You see, I think a lot of times, as we said when we begin this, we don't hear Him because we don't really want to hear Him, or maybe we don't really believe that He speaks, or we're afraid of what He might say. Am I ready to listen to God? Can I just tell you that I think when you come to God's house to worship, when you gather to worship, you ought to come expecting to and ready to hear from God. And if you do that, God will speak to you in the most amazing ways at church. Maybe through an old hymn or a praise song or a special music. We had two beautiful ones this morning, didn't we? I love both of those songs. So, so powerful. Worshipful, right? Sometimes He'll speak to you through the prayers of another person. Or through the encouragements, or through the Word of God in a Sunday school class, or Bible study, or through the preaching of His Word. But if we come expecting to hear Him, primed to hear Him, you know what's going to probably happen? You're going to hear Him, right? But because my heart was ready, it was ripe, it was primed to hear Him. We need to think about that. Okay, I want you to notice this from this passage of Scripture. You go, well, where are you getting that? Where is that coming from in this passage? Well, I want you to see this. Look at verses 8 and 9 of our passage, and this is kind of how the picture's gone. God begins to speak to Samuel, and Samuel didn't understand what was happening. He kept getting up, going to Eli and saying, Eli, did you call? Did you call? I heard you call. No, go back to bed. It was not me. You're just dreaming. Go back again. And so look at verses 8 and 9. It says, this, a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if the Lord calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went, and he laid down in the place. Now, what do you see there that might have made God speak at this time a little bit different? What happened this time? This time Samuel was ready, right? He was primed. He was pumped. Eli put it in his heart. That may be the Lord speaking. So this time, if the Lord speaks to you, you'll be ready for it. You'll be primed for it. You'll be expecting it. It's coming. And I think that needs to be us. Can I ask you this question? When you pray, do you really expect to hear from God? Do you expect Him to speak to you? Do you expect to hear His voice? I think we ought to expect to hear from Him. He wants to speak to us. I just read that quote from A.W. Tozer. I don't think the problem is with God speaking to us. I think it's with us hearing Him, right? He desires to speak. So maybe our hearts aren't primed and ready to hear Him. And you may be thinking, well, how do I do that? How do I do it? If I just be honest with you, when God speaks sometimes, it's not always convenient, right? I was thinking about this story, and I was thinking how hard it is, how difficult it is, how frustrating it is to get those calls in the middle of the night, right? Not convenient, right? I mean, you call me in the middle of the night, and I usually wake up, I don't know where I am, I'm groggy, it's just going to be a mess, right? And usually when we get those calls in the middle of night, it's not good news, right? We know that too. So it's not the most convenient thing. Well, look at this passage of Scripture. When was this happening? In the middle of the night, right? And here's the truth of the matter is, our hearts need to always be primed to hear Him. Even when it's not convenient, are you open to hearing God? Are you open to Him speaking to your voice? Even if it's in the middle of the night, are you willing to hear Him and listen to Him and receive what He has to say to you? Is your heart ready? And I love the instruction that he gets in this passage of Scripture, because Eli said, the next time God speaks to you, your heart needs to be primed. You're in the position to hear Him. You're sleeping next to His presence in the house of the Lord by the ark. You're there, but you got to be ready to receive it. Are we ready in our heart to receive it? I was thinking about how we tease people a lot of times today about having selective hearing. I'm pretty sure that Nancy and my kids would probably say I have selective hearing. Sometimes like I only hear what I want to hear, right? You know, we're that way with God, right? We often have selective hearing with God. We only want to hear what we want to hear. The truth of the matter is we like to hear the good things, right? We love it when God says to us, you are loved with an everlasting love, right? We can embrace that. We can get all around that one. Or maybe this one, I will never leave you or forsake you. What a beautiful promise, right? We love to hear that, right? That's convenient. We like those kind of things. Or cast all your care on me, because I care for you. Those are good things, and we're ready to hear that. And so we're primed and pumped and eager to kind of get that. But boy, if God has some hard things to say to us, are we really ready to hear that? You see, we've got to be ready to take the whole counsel of God, to hear all that He has to say. Is your heart primed for Him? We don't get to choose what God's going to say, but I can promise you this. When God speaks, it's always for His glory and your best. Always. It's always going to be a blessing to you. It's always going to touch your heart and touch your life. And God speaking to us is not like a buffet line, right? Where you get to go through the line and pick, well, I want this, but I don't want this, and I'll take this. And your heart needs to be ready to receive what God wants to say to you. And if you want to listen to Him and you want to hear Him, you got to be in the position, but you also got to be ready to hear it. Okay, another Charles Stanley quote. This is something else he said in that great little book, How to Listen to God. He says this, and I love this, God never says anything unless it's important and worth remembering. It's true. He doesn't engage in chit-chat. He doesn't preface His remarks with anything. God is always to the point. He has something to say, and He says it precisely and concisely. That is, He says just what we need to say, just what we need to hear, and He says it directly. And if you're willing to hear Him, you can hear Him. I've got one more for you. Ready? Okay. If you're going to hear Him, number one, am I positioned to hear Him? The second, am I primed to hear Him? And here's the third one. Am I permissive of God's voice in my life? Am I permissive of Him speaking? Now, let me tell you what I do and don't mean by that. First of all, God does not need your permission to speak to Him, for Him to speak to you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying here that God needs your permission to speak. He is omnipotent, you know, all powerful. He's sovereign God. He can speak if he wants to speak into your life. He doesn't need your permission to do that. He can. And doesn't he have remarkable ways of doing just that? If we won't listen, he will eventually get our attention, right? He will speak. So he doesn't need your permission to speak. That's not what I'm saying. He is more than qualified for that. He knows you. He knows what's going on in your life, even those things we don't let anybody else see. He has the very hairs of your head numbered. Isn't that what Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:30? He knows us better than we know ourselves. Psalm 139, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. He knows all about us, right? Every single part of us. So he doesn't need our permission to speak, but if we're going to hear him, we've got to be willing to hear him. We've got to be willing to let him speak to us. We've got to give him that permission to speak in our life. Although God doesn't need your permission, he wants, desires for you to allow him to speak into your life. Dave Hunt said it like this. He said, God cannot force anyone to love him, and he cannot force anyone to accept a gift. By the very nature of love and giving, man must have the power to choose. Dr. Billy Graham, he said this. He said, no matter what sin you have committed, no matter how sinful, dirty, shameful, terrible it may be, God loves you. Yet this love of God that is immeasurable, unmistakable, unending, this love of God that reaches to wherever man is, can be entirely rejected. God will not force himself upon anyone against his will. It is your part to believe. It is your part to receive. Nobody else can do it for you. So you get it? We've got to be willing, right? Not just ready and prime, but willing, permissive of him speaking to our life. Not that he needs our permission, but are we going to allow it? You go, well, where are you getting that in this passage of Scripture? We'll look at it again in verses 8 through 10. Just, you'll see it here. Look what he says. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In other words, open the door for him to speak. Give him permission to speak. Let him speak. Open the door for him to speak to your life. So Samuel went and laid down in that place, and the Lord came and stood there and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, what did he do? Gave him permission to speak. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I love that, even as a prayer. It ought to be the prayer of our hearts, right? Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. Speak, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. I desire for you to speak to my heart, to speak to my life. I desire you to do that. I think that's great advice. Actually opening our heart to him, to hear him. I'm near God positionally. I'm ready. But am I really willing to hear what he wants to say in my life? Listen, once you've come into those things, I think you'll be like Samuel, and God will begin to speak into your heart if you're willing to let him. There's a Christian singing group that I really like called Mercy Me. Bart Millard, maybe you know, is the lead singer of that. Do you know that First Baptist Church of Allen, where these folks are all from, they sang at our church there before they were even very popular, just a little band. They were up at OBU singing, and they came and they sang, and we got to meet Bart Mallard, and kind of tremendous thing. That Christian singer group's become very popular today. You guys know Mercy Me. They're the ones who sing I Can Only Imagine, beautiful song, and lots of great worship songs, a beautiful, beautiful singing group. Well, Bart Millard tells the story about they were fixing to cut their second album, and he had become very dry spiritually, he says. Just, you know, they were going through the motions all the time with singing and putting on concerts and doing all these things, and he had just come to this kind of spiritual plateau where it's like God wasn't speaking, wasn't moving in his life, and he felt very dry spiritually. And he talks about going to bed one night, and he was just worn out from the concert that day, and he laid down in bed feeling particularly down and out and frustrated at where he was spiritually. And he said he doesn't ever really even remember this, but he always kept a journal beside his bed. And if God spoke to him or prompted him, he'd get up and write in the journal. And about 3:30 that morning, God woke him, and he wrote kind of jumped up and kind of wrote some thoughts that were in his head. He was just talking about kind of expressing to God how he wasn't hearing God lately, and he wasn't hearing things that he had to say. And so here's what he wrote in the journal, 3:30 in the morning that night. "I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard. But God, to hear from you and hear what you would say." Closed it, went to bed. Never thought about it again. They continued to record the second album, and they were working. They finally got down to the end of the album, and the producers of the album said, "We need one more song." And Bart Millard said, "We didn't have it. We just did not have the song." And he said something prompted him to go back and read the journal. And he went back and he began to read the journal, thumbing through the pages. And he'd written lots of pages since then in that journal, prayers to God and thoughts about God and what was going on. And he came to this page and he didn't even remember writing it. But he read that statement again. "I'm finding myself at a loss for words. It's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear, God, what you have to say." And all of a sudden, God began to pour the lyrics to the song. He said the lyrics to the song, "Word of God Speak," came to him in just a matter of moments, and they recorded the song the next day. The song says this. Listen to the whole thing. "I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay." Same words from the journal. "The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say, Word of God Speak, would you pour down like rain? Washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak." And I read that story, I thought, wow. You want to listen to God? That's how you do it, right? Get in his presence. Get ready to hear him, primed to hear him. Word of God, speak. Speak to me, Lord. I believe you desire to speak to my heart. Let me hear you, right? You get it? And give him permission. "God, whatever you want to say, I'm willing, because I know that you love me, you care about me." And folks, listen, I'm just telling you that that's the side to prayer we don't give much attention to. We do all the talking, not much of the listening. But if you want the power of prayer, it's in what God has to say. It's in his voice. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know what God might have said in your heart, encouraged you with this morning. Maybe it was through the beautiful song that Marie sang, "Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to thee." Maybe it's just worship this morning. God, I could hear you just through worship this morning. Or maybe it's through the song about prayer that Sarah sang. So powerful this morning. "When I call on Jesus, all things are possible," right? Or maybe it's just been, "God, you know, I've been doing all the talking and none of the listening. And I'm kind of hearing this morning that you want to speak. And so I'm going to pray just like Bart Miller did and just like Eli did. And I want to say to you, Lord, speak. Speak for your servants listening. I want to start to hear you. I want to commit myself to a prayer life that doesn't just do all the talking, but becomes a two-way conversation. And part of it is listening to you. I want to begin to hear you in my life, what you say." And listen, when you begin to hear him, I want to tell you what he's going to do in your life. You will find comfort and peace even in these troubling times from his voice. You'll find it. He'll begin to calm your fears, all the restlessness that you feel from the things going on around us today, if you'll let him speak into your life. You will, in prayer. You'll find direction, maybe for important decisions or choices that you're trying to make, and you're trying to determine, "God, which way do you want me?" You just begin to listen for him, and as he begins to direct you, don't rush out of his presence. Wait for him to speak. You'll begin to find a new victory, a new joy in your walk with him that you never knew existed if you'll just learn to listen for him. In just a moment, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation. It's a familiar song, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." I think that's just an acknowledgement to him. "Have thine own way, Lord. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do in my life." Our altar's going to be open. Our ministers are here at the front. That pew can become, or that seat can become your altar just between you and him. But this morning, as we close out this service, let's begin to practice this. not just telling God what we need, but listening for Him to fill that need. Not just pleading and begging, I think that's a part of prayer, but also asking God, speak, Lord, for your servants listening. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word this morning. Thank you for each person that's here. I don't think that that's an accident. I believe with all of my heart, God, that you desire to speak to us in this place, even right now, to move us closer to you because you love us. And God, I pray for those who may need to make some kind of commitment or recommitment to you in this place today. Maybe it needs to happen right where they're standing, just between you and them. Maybe it needs to happen with one of our ministers praying with them or kneeling at an altar. I don't know. But Lord, this morning as you move on us, give us the courage just to open our hearts to you and what you're showing us and saying to us. And Lord, we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise. This is all about you. God, we give you this time. We commit it to you. And we ask you to move on us in the quietness of this moment. So give the courage to respond to you. We'll give you the praise. I'm going to ask if you would quietly stand with us as we begin to sing our hymn of invitation. Nancy's going to lead us. You know the song. Sing it as a prayer to him. Heads bowed or eyes closed or watching. You come.